Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that soars through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm your host, Skylar, and today we're diving into some fascinating developments from the archive that are reshaping how we think about memory systems and practical RISC-V implementations. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. We've got machine learning revolutionizing memory hierarchies, open source SD card controllers making RISC-V systems more practical, and some exciting news about vector extensions for AI workloads. Let's get started. Our first paper today comes from Rahul Bira, Rakesh Nadig, Unur Mutlu and colleagues, titled Machine Learning-Driven Intelligent Memory System Design, From On-Chip Caches to Storage. Now, this is one of those papers that really makes you step back and think about how we've been designing memory systems for decades. The authors are essentially saying, hey, we're living in this incredibly data-rich world, yet most of our memory management policies are still based on these static, human-designed heuristics that were created years ago. It's like having a smart car that can recognize traffic patterns and road conditions, but still using a paper map from the 1990s to navigate. The fundamental insight here is that our caches, our prefetchers, our replacement policies, they're all making decisions based on fixed rules rather than actually learning from the data flowing through the system. Think about it. Every memory access tells a story about what the application is doing, but we're essentially throwing away most of that valuable information. What Bera and colleagues are proposing is a complete paradigm shift using lightweight machine learning methods throughout the entire memory hierarchy to make it truly adaptive. This isn't about throwing massive neural networks at the problem either. They're focused on practical, implementable solutions that can actually fit in real hardware with reasonable power and area budgets. The beauty of this approach is that it can adapt to workload behavior in real time. Your cache doesn't just blindly follow LRU replacement. It learns which data patterns matter for your specific application. Your prefetcher doesn't just look at stride patterns. It builds a model of how your program actually accesses memory. This kind of adaptive intelligence could be transformative for RISC-V processors, especially as we see more diverse workloads running on everything from embedded IoT devices to high-performance computing clusters. The one-size-fits-all approach to memory management just doesn't cut it anymore when you're dealing with such varied computational demands. What's particularly exciting is how this could impact the broader ecosystem. Imagine RISC-V cores that get smarter about memory management over time, learning from the specific applications they're running most frequently. Next up, we have a paper that tackles a very practical challenge in the open-source RISC-V world. Axel Vanoni, Philippe Sauter, Paul Scheffler, and colleagues present Implementing and Optimizing an Open-Source SD Card Host Controller for RISC-V Zoe. Now, this might sound like a pretty niche topic, but it's actually addressing a fundamental bottleneck that's been limiting the practical deployment of open-source RISC-V systems. Here's the problem. We've made incredible progress in open-source RISC-V processors and SOCs that can run full Linux systems. That's amazing. But there's been this persistent gap when it comes to storage interfaces. Most of these systems have been relying on SPI-based interface for non-volatile storage, and SPI is just painfully slow for anything serious. It's like having a sports car but only being allowed to drive in first gear. If you want to build a practical development platform or embedded system that can actually run real applications, you need proper storage performance. And in the embedded Linux world, SD cards are absolutely the de facto standard. They're cheap, widely available, easy to swap out, and developers expect them to just work. But here's the catch. Implementing an efficient SD host controller is actually pretty complex. The SD card specification has all these timing requirements, different speed modes, error handling protocols. It's not trivial to get right, especially when you're trying to build an open source implementation that needs to be both performant and maintainable. What the authors have done is create a fully open source SD host controller that integrates cleanly with RISC-V SOX and delivers the kind of performance you need for real world applications. They've handled all the messy details of the SD protocol, optimized the data paths, and made sure it plays nicely with the Linux kernel's existing SD infrastructure. This is exactly the kind of unglamorous but absolutely essential work that makes open source hardware ecosystems viable. you can have the most elegant processor design in the world. But if users can't easily connect storage and get decent I/O performance, your system isn't going to see widespread adoption. For companies like Andes Technology working on practical RISC-V solutions, having robust open-source peripheral IP like this is incredibly valuable. It reduces integration complexity and helps accelerate time to market for customers building complete systems. Moving into our news segment, we've got some interesting developments in the RISC-V vector extension space. First up is coverage from John Petty on the RISC-V vector extension for AI. Now, this is hitting on one of the most exciting areas in processor design right now, how to efficiently handle the computational patterns we see in modern AI workloads. The RISC-V vector extensions, or RFFE, represent a really thoughtful approach to this challenge. Unlike some other vector instruction sets that were designed primarily for traditional HPC workloads, RVV was built from the ground up to be flexible and scalable. What's particularly clever about RVV is its variable length approach. Instead of fixing vector widths like traditional SIMD extensions, it allows implementations to choose their vector length, and then software can adapt accordingly. This is huge for AI workloads because different neural network layers have different computational requirements. Your convolution layers might benefit from longer vectors, while your activation functions might prefer shorter ones. The extensible nature of RISC-V really shines here. You're not locked into decisions made decades ago for completely different workload patterns. And for AI specifically, having native support for mixed precision operations, efficient gather-scatter patterns, and flexible reduction operations can make a massive difference in performance per watt. This is especially important in edge AI applications where power efficiency is critical. What's exciting is seeing the broader ecosystem rally around RVRV for AI applications. It's not just about having the instruction set extensions. You need compiler support, library optimizations, framework integration. The fact that we're seeing momentum across all these layers suggests RVV could become a real force in AI acceleration, especially for applications that don't need the absolute highest peak performance, but do need flexibility and power efficiency. Next up from Hackaday, we have checking in on the ISA wars and its impact on CPU architectures. This is a great piece that takes a step back and looks at the bigger picture of instruction, set architecture competition, and how it's shaping processor design. The so-called ISA wars have been fascinating to watch unfold over the past few years. For decades, we essentially had a duopoly between x86 and ARM, with each dominating different market segments. But now we're seeing this explosion of diversity. RISC-V gaining serious traction, specialized architectures for AI workloads, even some renewed interest in alternative approaches like MIPS in certain niches. What's particularly interesting is how this competition is driving innovation not just in the instruction sets themselves, but in the entire software toolchain around them. When you have multiple viable ISA options, suddenly compiler optimization becomes even more critical, and we're seeing some really impressive advances in code generation and optimization techniques. From an architecture perspective, having multiple ISA options also means designers have more freedom to optimize for specific use cases. You're not necessarily locked into architectural decisions that made sense for general purpose computing in the 1980s, but might not be optimal for today's workloads. This is particularly relevant for RISC-V, where the open nature of the ISA allows for much more experimentation and customization than we've traditionally seen. Companies can add custom extensions for their specific domains without worrying about licensing restrictions or compatibility with legacy decisions they had no part in making. The competition is also spurring innovation in areas like security, power efficiency, and specialized accelerators. When you're not beholden to maintaining perfect backward compatibility with the decades of legacy software, you have more room to innovate in these areas. Our final news item comes from RISC-V International about support for Raja and scientific applications on RVV architectures. Now, Raja might not be familiar to everyone, but it's actually a pretty important piece of the high-performance computing puzzle. Raja is a performance portability layer developed at Lawrence Livermore National Lab that allows scientific applications to run efficiently across different parallel architectures, CPUs, GPUs, you name it. The fact that there is now official support for RISC-V vector architectures is a big deal for several reasons. First, it shows that RISC-V is being taken seriously in the HPC community. Scientific computing has traditionally been dominated by x86 processors and specialized accelerators. So having a major portability framework like Raja support RISC-V vector extensions is a strong signal that the ecosystem is maturing. Second, this kind of support is absolutely essential for practical adoption in scientific computing. Researchers aren't going to rewrite their applications from scratch just to try out a new processor architecture. They need tools and frameworks that let them leverage new hardware capabilities without massive software engineering efforts. Raja provides exactly that. It abstracts away the hardware-specific details while still allowing applications to take advantage of vector processing capabilities. For RISC-V specifically, this support could open up entirely new markets. Scientific computing is a high-value segment where performance per dollar and power efficiency really matter. If RISC-V systems can demonstrate competitive performance on real scientific workloads while offering better customization options and potentially lower total cost of ownership, that could be a compelling value proposition. The timing is also interesting because we're seeing more interest in open source alternatives throughout the scientific computing stack. Open source compilers, open source libraries, and now potentially open source processor architectures. It fits into this broader trend toward more transparency and control in the tools that drive scientific discovery. That wraps up another episode of Condor Currents. We've covered machine learning revolutionizing memory systems, practical storage solutions for open source RISC-V platforms, and the growing momentum behind vector extensions for diverse workloads. The intersection of open architecture and intelligent system design continues to create fascinating opportunities for innovation. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies' RISC-V processor IP portfolio. Don't forget to subscribe for your daily dose of architecture research and RISC-V developments. Tomorrow, we'll be back with more cutting-edge research from the archive, so keep those currents flowing, and I'll see you next time.